Well, good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the morning show, the Wednesday edition of the morning show this Wednesday, July 11th. And I'm Susie Perez, one of your co-hosts. Sitting across from me is my co-host, Chris Bessler. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Beautiful, perfect summer day out there.
Another one.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, this is good.
There may be more to come, I believe.
This is perfect weather.
Yeah.
I would say. And we have guests in the studio. They're sitting here smiling at us. And we'll tell you all about that. And again, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. Well, and our guests are, to start out, we're going to be talking about things going on in the city, specifically city streets and projects that are underway right now, but also other city matters. We have Mayor Shelby Rongstad here.
Mayor, good morning, listeners.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here. Chris and Susie.
We have City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton here. Jennifer, thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
As well, we have Public Works Director Amanda Wilson. Amanda.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And we're going to dive in on a bunch of city stuff, specifically the street projects, in just a minute.
And we have a second group of guests coming in, or a second guest, Emma Stanford from, she's the Outreach Coordinator, Sandpoint Farmers Market, to tell us about some real interesting things coming up at the Farmers Market, but that will be a little bit later on, second half. So,
yeah.
The weather.
I bet
that's what you're wondering about, isn't it?
Everybody wants to know about the weather.
Well, currently it's 59 degrees from the, the National Weather Service. And today we can expect a high of 81 and sunny. We're supposed to get thunderstorms last night or yesterday. It kind of happened a little bit, but not too much. Low tonight, 49. And then all the rest of the week, highs 85, 89, 84, 85. And lows are in the mid-50s. Sunny. Not much else to say.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Just kind of beautiful. Some other things going on outside. The sunrise this morning was at 4:56 a.m. It'll set tonight at 8:46 p.m. We have these beautiful long days of summer happening right now. This night sky has been pretty great. We have a new moon coming on Thursday, and if you see a really bright star in the sky, that's probably Venus, because Venus has been exceptionally bright. And coming up later in the night, Mars has been huge, really red glowing up there. So check out the night sky if you get a chance. Lake Pendere is at 2062.2 feet. It's going to hold steady at the summer pool now. And happy to say, with the fire watch, there are no active wildfires in Idaho. We have great clean air happening. Other things going on around town. Susie, this is like the huge week of stuff going on. There's the Sandpoint Antique and Classic Boat Show, which starts Friday and runs through Sunday, actually. And that's along the Sand Creek Boardwalk right in town. That's put on by the Inland Empire Antique and Classic Boat Society. So come take a cruise down along the boardwalk and check out these classic wooden boats. They're really pretty gorgeous. Also on Saturday, there's the 5th Annual Sandpoint Beer Fest happening. That's from noon to 5 p.m. It's at Trendy at City Beach. Right there at City Beach. If you're a beer lover, catch that, because there's a lot of
there will be 800 different craft beers to taste. No, I'm joking. But it seems like there's a zillion different kinds of beers these days.
There's a zillion different kinds, more than you want to try to sample them all.
Yeah. And this week on Thursday, actually, the Festival of Sandpoint Youth Concert will happen, because they're having the Sandpoint Festival Youth Camp, music camp.
Yeah.
And it's really a cool thing. It's being put on by the festival, and Beth Weber is hosting that this year. But on Thursday night, there will be a performance at the Panada at 6 p.m., and tickets are $5. And you can find out more by going to the festival at sandpoint.org.
Yeah. A couple other things to throw out there, because there is a ton going on. There's the Rails to Resort Hill Climb. It's a biking event up Schweitzer Road that happens Saturday. The Bonner County Gardeners Association is having their annual garden tour with 6 local gardens to tour. That happens Sunday. And then there's another big event happening July 13, 14, 15. That's the Friday through Sunday. It's the Sandpoint Summer Fest. That happens out at the Eureka Institute in Sagal. 24th annual. We talked to those guys last week, and we're going to have a couple tickets that our mayor brought in to give away a little bit later in the show. Is that right?
That's right. I have a ticket to give away to a lucky caller today.
Okay.
And we'll prompt that. Maybe I'll put on one of the songs from one of the bands. The bands are pretty awesome that's going to be happening out there.
So. Yeah. So we'll do that later in the show. So listen for a chance to win a ticket to get out to the Summerfest. And with that, we're talking fast because there's so much going on. We're going to get into city happenings.
You know, there's a lot of questions about what's going on Cedar Street. So do you think we should start there?
Yeah, let's actually... tell you what, the construction happening on Cedar Street is part of a larger downtown revitalization, redesign plan that's been in the works actually for many years. So, Mayor, can you give us kind of the background about the revitalization project overall?
Yeah, Chris, I'd love to. You know, really, it started back in 2005 with the formation of Sandpoint Urban Renewal Agency. The purpose of the agency from the beginning was to allow the city to rebuild its city streets in the downtown core and have the funding to do so. And so that was really the original vision that was guiding SURA's creation. And since then, of course, you know, over the years, we saw 2nd Avenue, 3rd Avenue, 4th have happened over the years. In 2012, well, completed in 2012, I think it began in 2011, there was a downtown streets planning effort that was initiated by the city council. And there was significant public involvement and feedback. There were a number of workshops where the public was invited in. I attended a number of them at City Hall, and they were really fun. Actually, they were planning workshops where we had professional planners there that gave participants a variety of different options and considerations as to how we want to best design our downtown. There were obviously stakeholders that were involved, many downtown business owners, the chamber, et cetera, were all involved. So there was a lot of public feedback, and what came out of that was a desire to make our downtown more pedestrian friendly, better for businesses. We wanted to create an environment where people felt comfortable hanging out, spending time downtown, where it felt relaxed and comfortable, where traffic was slowed, and the downtown rights of way were not all about how fast can we move traffic through downtown, but how can we make it a really pleasant, enjoyable, aesthetically pleasing experience that's also safe for multimodal, many forms of transportation, whether you're on a bike, on foot, et cetera. And so through those planning workshops and that what was created was this Downtown Streets Master Plan. And that was really the guiding document for how we wanted to develop our new downtown streets going forward. And that's really the foundation from which we designed First and Cedar Avenue. And so we're really seeing that now on Cedar. We've got much wider sidewalks. The bulb outs create a much safer crossing for pedestrians where the pedestrian is visible to traffic when they're crossing. It's mutually visible, right? Where pedestrian can get out in front of traffic, they can see the cars coming, cars can see them, and it also creates a really nice plaza kind of feel. There's space, and then another benefit that I should mention is stormwater management. So, water quality is an important issue here in this community, as in many, planters that you see along the sidewalks and particularly at the bulb outs, they create, there's space to accommodate stormwater capture that's basically runoff from storm events, runoff that's captured off the streets and into these planters. And not only does it create, a beautiful, aesthetically pleasing kind of environment when you've got plants and trees and stuff growing in the city streets, create shade and those kind of things, but it also allows the runoff from the streets, which is, you know, laced with oil and you know, stuff from cars. It filters through the soil, and it allows that water to be cleaned through the soil before it has a chance to enter the watershed. So that was really...
It keeps it out of the lake, specifically.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is a major concern, yeah.
Yeah, so that was 2012. And then, so, you know, since in the last few years, we've continued with that process, which resulted in, you know, detailed engineering over these last couple of years for the phase one and two, which we're seeing right now. So,
okay, so that's kind of the broad picture.
Yeah.
This thing's been under development for many years. There are a lot of workshops. I went to a few of those, and those were several years back. I guess you could say that the plan they're on wasn't any one individual's idea. It was kind of a collective idea. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely.
Because they took feedback from all the people that went to these workshops. And what I heard there as well was that people want to make the downtown more pedestrian friendly. And the design is going that way. Now there's been some critique on that, that we'll get into, but let's talk right now about, and man, maybe you can talk about this. So we're in the phase of the project where we're fixing or redoing Cedar Street. And right now, you've been focusing on Cedar Street between 2nd and 3rd. Talk about how that project is going to be phased in during the course of the summer.
Sure, I would love to. So essentially, phase one of this project includes from 2nd Avenue all the way to 5th. And that's considered phase one. The second phase of the project is going from 2nd all the way down 1st Avenue, approximately to Bridge Street. So phase one is in construction, as everyone is well aware. Phase two is in the design phase. So as far as the sequencing goes of our construction project that's currently active, we started that, kicked the project off right after Lost in the 50s, really kind of planned our schedule around, you know, it's a balance between having good enough weather to be able to do the work, but also being cognizant of the fact that we have some really important events in town that we need to schedule around. So kicked the project off right after Lost in the 50s and began at 2nd, worked our way towards 3rd. And then right after the 4th of July holiday that we just had, we moved on to the section between 3rd and 4th. So that's we're currently working both blocks right now. As far as a phasing, we looked at a variety of options for the construction sequencing. We looked at doing, you know, just the north half, all blocks at once, and then moving over to doing the south half so that people could access it at all times. Then we looked at the option of going block to block, which is ultimately where we landed, for the fundamental reason that it, the feedback we received from the businesses and others within the public is that this would be the least impactful. So you would still have access to the businesses. You would still have that visibility that's so key for tourism. So the block to block has, I believe, has proven to be a pretty effective approach. With that said, it's approximately a month per block to do the construction before we move on to the next block. We have planned in that as we move forward, we still have work on the previous block that we need to wrap up. So as you see today, we're finishing up sidewalks between 2nd and 3rd. We're in the process of doing the utility works and the excavation, putting in new stormwater features on the section from 3rd to 4th, and then we'll move right into curbs next week. So it's moving right along. The project's on schedule. The first block was probably our most challenging block. In part, you have that learning curve as far as, you know, figuring out and dialing in your systems. But as we move forward, there's a little bit less utility conflicts. There's also less businesses and less entrances. So I think we'll pick up a little bit of pace there. Our contractor's doing, in my opinion, a fantastic job and being very cognizant of making sure we have access to businesses as much as possible. The intent is to be done, and I think we're going to achieve that with the actual block-by-block construction by around Labor Day. Then we'll move right into a week of paving. So we'll pave all blocks at the same time.
Yeah, paving doesn't happen until the very end.
Correct.
So that you can get a
So it's not piecemealed. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm wondering if you've had much feedback. You said in the beginning the businesses along Cedar suggested just going for it and doing it block by block. But how has the feedback been as far as the impact to their businesses at this point in time?
You know, from my perspective, what I'm hearing is all positive. In fact, we actually had a couple businesses who gave the construction crew some gift cards just to say thanks. Thanks a lot for, you know, getting our customers to our business. It's messy. Anytime you do a construction project where you're essentially demolishing everything from storefront to storefront, there's going to be impacts. And I think, you know, it's a team effort between the businesses. The customers have been extremely patient and, you know, kind of going around. They've all, you know, followed our delineation that we have out there suggesting this is the safest path. And it's just been a really a great experience as far as I'm concerned so far. It's an inconvenience, but I think we're getting through it. And the message we're hearing is that, yeah, it's messy now, but it's worth it. So
it's kind of an adventure walking out there and finding your way to your favorite spot.
Yeah.
But people have an adventurous spirit, so it all works out.
So if we have a listener who isn't really familiar with what the improvements look like, why don't you describe that? What are we going for with the rebuild?
Absolutely. I describe it as a facelift. I mean, this downtown is going to look completely different than it did when we started. And so that essentially means all new sidewalks, a new roadway section. It includes, as the mayor mentioned, new stormwater features that are really important to not only today, but to our future and how we move forward there. But it also is going to include all new trees, the existing trees that were in place before we showed up were really at the end of their lifespan. They were quite old and not really that healthy, majority of them. And so we're planting all new trees. We're putting in features like seat walls. So when we do have our downtown events, people have a place to sit. We're going to have additional benches, bicycle racks, trash containers to keep things clean. And what we're seeing is, and what we're hearing, frankly, is that a lot of businesses are looking at the possibility of expanding some of their business into the sidewalk, right? And we see that in a lot of other cities. And it's good for the business. It kind of changes that overall feel. So it's this integrated experience between, you know, you're not only going to a business, but you feel integrated within the actual downtown as well.
So the restaurant could have a couple tables out there
exactly.
In front of their restaurant.
Yep. Yeah, and planters. And it's a space you want to be in rather than just an avenue to get to your destination. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of encompassing the whole area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jennifer, we're going to bring you in on the conversation. So what kind of feedback are you getting from the public at large?
I would say generally this has been one of the more positive projects that we've had since I've been with the city. And I think a lot of it is due to the outreach. And as Amanda referenced, the partnership with the businesses, we've really been making an effort to get updates out on what the public can expect, what the impacts will be. We put out weekly updates and a plug again. We put those out both on, we have project pages on our website, and we also put those out on our Facebook page over the weekend. What's the plan for the next week? Where are there going to be impacts for pedestrians? Where are the impacts for the businesses? Just what the plan is. And if you go back and look at how that's played out over the last 4 or 5 weeks, you'll see that what the plan is what was carried out on each of those given weeks. Mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes people just want to know. And with that kind of information being given, it makes it helpful. And people respond to that quite well.
Especially this year, it's been tough, honestly. We have the construction both in terms of this phase one with downtown. We have the Oak Street project with the bike lane there and the underground utility project built into that. So that's been going on at the same time. And then we've also been impacting businesses and residences along Ella with that overlay project. So and that project wrapped up really for the most part a couple of weeks ago. And we're really proud about that one too, because we were on time with that project and actually under budget, which left us the ability to look at some additional complete street features like putting in sharrows and things with our streets. So our funders are happy that we were under budget on time with that project, and we're really happy with the timing of that as well.
Meanwhile, I should put a plug in for Ting. They're all over town, taking up right-of-way, bringing fiber to the home. So they're They're working on phase one in the central core of downtown right now, which is basically from Division to Boyer and from Highway 2 to Baldy. But they anticipate later this year that they'll be entering into phase two, which is essentially South Sandpoint. So yeah, you see them all over town as well. And it's great to see that we've finally got a really competitive high-speed internet market here. And we anticipate they've actually lit up their first customer just a couple weeks ago, bringing high-speed, affordable internet to Sandpoint residents. So very exciting.
That's Ting.
That's right.
All right. And I just want to remind our listeners, thanks for tuning in to The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And this is 88.5 KRFY. And if you're not able to hear the whole show, you can hear it on our website as a podcast later on in the day at krfy.org.
And we are talking with Mayor Shelby Ronstadt, City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton, and Public Works Director Amanda Wilson about the construction projects going on in town, specifically Cedar Street at the moment. So I don't know who will want to take these questions, but we, you know, there's been a lot of talk on some of the social media. The readers put up pictures of the project as it's progress, and that's excited a lot of comment. Sandpoint Online, I think the Daily Bee Facebook page has excited a lot of comment. And I thought it would be good if we address some of the specific questions or complaints that are being voiced. And I'd say the biggest one is probably around the bulb outs. So Amanda, why don't you describe how the bulb out idea works in a little bit greater detail, and specifically, how do snow plows handle the bulb outs?
It's a really good question and a really good point. We're hearing some of those questions and concerns as well. And, you know, I guess I would say in one regard, I completely understand when, you know, we have a street that doesn't have bulb outs and then we start seeing curbs go up. It's kind of a wow moment. You realize just how large these things appear to be. And until the project's completed, it's really hard to visualize the entire impact of it, or lack of impact, I should say, as far as motorists go. So as far as the size of the bulb outs, it really comes down to a couple key things. First and foremost, as the mayor mentioned, the intent there is not only to make the distance of crossing for a pedestrian shorter, but it's also a traffic calming feature, I would say. And so, you know, we're constantly looking at ways to balance. How do we achieve that? And there's a couple ways you can do it. You can do it with bulb outs. You can do it with stop signs. You can do it with street lights. You can do it with speed bumps, right? And each one kind of has its pros and cons. And so ultimately, the bulb outs seem to be the best balance. As far as the size of them, what I would tell folks is, you know, once it's functioning, I think they're going to see that it actually works quite well. And I say that because these are not unique to Sandpoint in any regard, frankly. These are well engineered in the sense that they're based upon past precedents, past data, and engineering standards. They're not just one person's idea of what a radius should be on this curve. And so they do work. The actual width from curb to curb is wider than majority of our streets that we have in Sandpoint. So as far as the ability to turn, we're going to be able to turn. That's a key factor that obviously was considered during the design phase. The other reason that they're large, just to kind of give some background on that, is that they're trying to get pedestrians out in front of that diagonal parking. So if we had parallel parking, let's say, on each side of the street, those bulb outs could potentially be reduced. That said, we've seen and heard that people want more parking downtown. And so it's this tough balance because diagonal parking gives us that additional parking that I know the businesses and a lot of folks in the public are looking for. So ultimately, I think once this project's done, people are going to be happy. Change is always a little bit, you know, there's hesitation there anytime we go about changing our streets and changing the actual layout of it. But I think folks are going to see it's a success. We have bulb outs throughout town and they function quite well for the most part. We do have issues with snowplow removal. That's a valid point. I'll just be quite candid on that. And so we're looking at different ways to address those going forward. This project, we ended up having to stick with the armored curb that we see throughout town, frankly, because...
Armored curb being a strip of metal that's placed with the on the curb to help protect it from the plow.
Correct, yes. And really, the reason for that is to protect it and to reduce long-term maintenance. So there are pros and cons. In the future, we're probably going to see less armored curb. We actually took it out of our Oak Street project because the timing worked out well. The timing on Cedar Street, it just didn't really pencil out to pull those. That said, you know, our equipment that we use to remove snow is aging. In fact, it's quite old. And so we're moving forward with taking some options to council later this month to potentially get a loader, which in the past we've rented our loaders. And the nice feature about a loader is that it articulates versus a blade, which is what we typically use. And a blade, you have a lot less ability to move around those bull bouts. And so they end up getting damaged. And once they get damaged, then cars hit them and you start to have some of those tire problems. So I think we're going to see improvements going forward with our ability by using the right tool for the job, if you will. And yeah.
Another question that I have heard and actually observed is when a bike rider, bicyclist comes up to the bulb outs, they have to go basically into the traffic a little bit more, even though they're supposed to be the traffic. And I think people are intimidated by that aspect to actually get out in the traffic. The good news is these things slow the traffic down, so the bicyclist feels a little safer. But I have noticed more people on the sidewalks on their bicycles, which makes it hard for pedestrians. And I'm sure you've thought this all out.
It's a good point. I mean, we want to see bicyclists in the street, not on the sidewalk. That's really where they're meant to be. We have a, you know, our plan, our overall plan is for bicyclists to primarily use Oak and Church as the east-west thoroughfare. And so although Cedar can accommodate bicyclists by putting them in the street, really the safest route for bicyclists would be on Oak and Church. So I hear your point, absolutely, when it comes to, you know, that feeling as a bicyclist. I love to ride my bike throughout town. And yeah, you have to, in an environment like this, you're treat yourself as a car, right? You have to be out in that lane just as you would.
Mm-hmm. Wear bright clothes because yes. Folks that are backing out might not see you, but that's true. They might not see a car if they're because, you know, it's difficult. So go slower, take your time kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Well, and I should add, so... you know, these bulb outs and just the narrowing of the road in general with the parking, you know, we went from a three-lane one-way to a two-way, two-lane. And then with the diagonal parking and the bulb outs, it dramatically slows the traffic. And I, you know, I'm an avid bike rider. People see me riding all over town all the time. When it was a three-lane one-way, I was intimidated, like I'm sure most other bicyclists, from riding say on First Avenue and Cedar, because the traffic was traveling, even though it's a 25 mile an hour zone, it was designed for 35 or greater. And so most traffic, especially, you know, not during the peak of the day, was traveling at 35 or so.
And particularly down First Avenue and Cedar because it was so wide.
That's right. You know, yep. And you know, it's uncomfortable.
More than a few drag races I witnessed on the streets.
Yeah. And that, you know, if you're a bicycler, it's very uncomfortable to be riding along with traffic that's going much faster than you are. But with this new design, you know, the traffic is slowed to, even though it's 25 mile an hour zone, most traffic is traveling at about 15 to 20, especially through the middle of the day when there's traffic and parking and all that. And so as a bicyclist, I'm comfortable traveling at 15 to 20 miles an hour with traffic. And so I feel, you know, fine taking my space in the lane. And of course, you know, bicyclists are you know, welcome. They are, you know, they have the right of way in that lane. And so, you know, you don't feel like you're holding up traffic, you know, just pedaling down the street. So, mm-hmm. So it is, you know, for me, it feels much safer. And I'm sure for other bicyclists, it does as well.
And if you're a family, I'll just throw this out because this is something anyone would agree with me. If you're a family and you want your kids to learn good bike safety, have them wear helmets, correct?
Good point.
Yeah.
An evangelist for helmets right there.
Yeah.
Well, we want to talk a little bit more about the next phase, but would you have a word to the people that are being skeptical or critical right now? Like, wait and see how it turns out?
Yeah, I guess that's a really good way to put it, Chris, is I think you'll be pleased and at the end of the day. It is different. Change is a little bit different for all of us. But I think overall, it's a good balance. And that's ultimately what this project is it's balancing the priorities between motorists, pedestrians, businesses, bicyclists, and, you know, just all of those users. It doesn't favor just one or the other. It's really about that balance. So, yeah, please hold on. And thank you for your patience.
Yeah, my observation is this whole project really got kicked off by the construction of the bypass, which enabled the city to get control of the streets back. And I think the anticipation of that, the planning that went on, kicked off the idea that this downtown should be a destination more than just a pass-through. So I think the changes are kind of reflecting that, and we'll see how they work out. So the next phase is going to be when we turn the corner and go the other direction down First Avenue. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we have multiple phases kind of built in that next section. So this year, actually, we are starting right after Labor Day. We are going to be on the portion of Cedar from 2nd to 1st and then down 1st to just north of Church. And what the work that we're doing there is limited to putting in a new sewer line. So we need to get that work done so that next year when we go to do what we're doing on Cedar, when we do that on First, that frankly the duration of the project is less and that we're able to accomplish it in a single season. So the contractors will be starting that right after Labor Day, as I mentioned. And overall, we're looking at about a 6-week duration. We're going to do the traffic. We're going to close traffic off, if you will, kind of in two phases. Essentially starting at Church, going through Main Intersection, that'll be phase one, if you will. And then the second portion of it is opening the roadway back up at Main and going all the way to 2nd Avenue on Cedar Street. So overall project duration is about 6 weeks. We planned that project after Labor Day so that it is the least impactful that it possibly could be for the businesses and for our tourist season.
Mm-hmm. And then in the next summer, what would the plan be? I mean, how long will that duration be to do on First what you're doing now on Cedar?
That's a really good question, Chris. We're still in the planning phase of that project. We're actually at about 30 to 50% design completion on that. We're hoping to possibly start that project a little bit earlier than we did this year. We're still having those conversations with the businesses and the overall public to see what makes the most sense there. But I would say in general, the timeline's about the same. We have some unique challenges on First that we didn't have on Cedar. So I would say that the duration overall would be pretty comparable, approximately 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's the city street stuff, but the city always has a ton of other things going on. One of them coming up is a Memorial Field workshop. Is that right, Jennifer?
Yes, we are in budget season now at the city. We'll be adopting our 2018-19 budget next month, but in conjunction with that, we have a number of issues before City Council that are really significant that we are at key decision points on so we can figure out what our budget looks like for next year and the subsequent year. So next week we will be having a workshop on the field options. Our consultant will be coming in that's been working with our Citizens Advisory Committee on options for field at Memorial Field. And again, a reminder on our format for those. We changed our format about a year ago and incorporated workshops into our council meetings. So council members move off the dais down to the table at the front. As seats are available, it's open to the public to come up and participate in the conversation as well. I suspect on this topic we'll have a fairly good turnout, so we'll probably be spilled into our regular seats in the audience. But the intent of these workshops is really to have a discussion. Council does not make a decision At that particular meeting where we're doing workshops, because it gives an opportunity for that discussion to happen and then kind of flow out into the community over a period of weeks and then come back for council to make a decision. So that's what we anticipate happening on this.
And the main question there is the turf.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, turf. We have the building done, although we're working through a list of punch list items actually right now. So we have some paint that ended up peeling off the back, and we still need to get our graffiti coating on. So we have a few things that we're still buttoning up. But the question is turf. And we put this discussion and decision off while we really went through a well-vetted process of looking at all of the different options, and there's a series of options with this. We're going to be, one option is artificial turf at Memorial Field. Second is kind of a hybrid option, which would be a natural turf on the football field, but some artificial turf on the outfields at on the baseball side. Another option would be natural turf across both fields. And then finally, we had our consultant last fall take a look at, what we could do potentially with cost savings between artificial turf and natural turf to get some enhancements on our other fields. Remember, when this ballot went before voters and our voters overwhelmingly approved it, there was a series of priorities. It was the stadium itself. It was other infrastructure improvements, the entryway, the gateway, the lighting at the stadium. It was the turf. And then finally, it was infrastructure at other parks. One of the specific infrastructure items identified was parking at Traverse Field. So we've incorporated that in with the field options. But one of the challenges we have over all of our fields is, our playtime in the spring, particularly as we get into the fall, our fields are wet. This was a particularly difficult year where, kids were not on the field. Sports had started, and we couldn't get kids on the field for 2.5 months after our sports season had started, which is not something unheard of with previous years. So we really want to look at an option, have a conversation with the community as well about what we might be able to do about drainage improvements across all of our fields. And is that something to look at as a, again, the difference between artificial and natural so that we can benefit all of our kids across all of our field surfaces?
Okay. Well, there's always more stuff going on in the city, but we're about out of time. I don't know if you want to throw out any. Oh, we do have one last thing. The mayor is offering a free pass to the Sandpoint Summerfest that is happening this Friday, Saturday, Sunday out at Eureka Institute. And Susie, how do you want to work this?
Well, a couple different ways. First of all, I want to say that Summerfest is a fundraiser for a nonprofit. It's for the Eureka Institute, which is a nonprofit, and their Construction Basics Initiative program. So I think it's important to realize that this is not a money-making endeavor. It's a fundraising endeavor. And thank you, Mayor Shelby, for the ticket. We'd love to give away to one of our listeners. And here's how we're going to do it. I have a song that I'm going to put on from one of the bands that will be there. It is the Riversides. And the song is Time's Going. I think I can do this off from a CD. I'm going to certainly try. But before we go, I want to thank our guests, Jennifer Stapleton, Amanda Wilson, and Shelby Ronstadt, Mayor Shelby, for coming in and telling us. I think from what I'm hearing, we should have you in on a regular basis because a lot's going on. Things change. And I think it helps our listeners and our citizens feel confident in what's going on. As you say on your website and Facebook, you're keeping an update, and those kind of updates really make a difference. So thank you for coming in and sharing, and let's have you back. Sounds good?
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
All right. And you call 265-2992, but you have to be the third caller, and you have to leave your phone number and I will call you back after the show. I will check the message machine because no one's on the phones right now. But we will look for the third caller on the message machine. Again, the phone number is 265-208-265-2992. Leave your phone number and your name, and I'll call you back if you're the third caller to win a pass to Summerfest. And that's this weekend at the Eureka Institute out in Sagal. And the name of this song, again, is Time's Going by the Riverside.
You're walking through the grass and looking at the sky. The trees they cast, the shadows in my eyes. Sun still shines.
And that was The Riverside, the band called The Riverside, and the song was Time's Going. That is one of the bands that's playing this weekend out at Summerfest, Sandpoint Summerfest, out at the Eureka Institute in Sagal. And if you were of the lucky caller, the number three caller, and you called 208-265-2992, you will have a ticket to that Summerfest. So thank you for listening. And it's the lineup is amazing. That's all I can say. Mm-hmm. And it is a benefit for a nonprofit called the Eureka Institute Construction Program. We have a new guest in the studio, Emma. Hi, Emma.
Hello there.
I am saying your name is Emma Stanford.
Stanford.
Stanford. Yes, and you are the outreach coordinator for the Sandpoint Farmers Market.
I am.
And there's a lot going on at the market. And you wanted to come in and talk about it. So why don't you tell us?
Yeah. So this year marks our 30th anniversary, which is a very big deal. And we decided to have a celebration. So that's happening this Saturday during regular market hours. We're going to be having Muffy and the Riff Hangers, which are a wonderful local band, very danceable, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then we're going to be having face painting and crafts for kids and generally kind of having an air of celebration at this coming market for, again, our 30th birthday. And then a couple other big news items are we're having Kids Day again this year, and that's a really good opportunity for interested young entrepreneurs to sell at the market. And there's a very small application for that, and the deadline for that is July 15th, so that's coming up quite quickly here, and Kids Day is August 18th. So those are kind of the big line items there.
And those are both on Saturday. The 30th anniversary party is July 14th. That's this coming Saturday from 9 to 1. And then the Kids Day is August 18th, again on a Saturday from 9 to 1. But then you have the regular Wednesday markets every Wednesday.
We do. And the regular Saturday markets are going on too, but we like to have sort of once a month celebratory event. And then Wednesdays this year, we're trying to get some more attendance, and we're doing several kids events. First and third Wednesdays, we from 3 to 4:30, we do book reading and crafts at the Wednesday market. So the Wednesday market goes from 3 to 5:30, but from 3 to 4:30, first and third Wednesdays, there's a free kids book reading and crafts. And then the last Wednesday of every month, we do a sort of an educational activity for kids. And this month, which is July 25th, we are hosting the UI Extension office, and they're going to be doing a botanical activity for kids, which is just fun and market related, and you know, if you're trying to figure out what to do with your kids in the middle of summer, it's maybe something, you know, kind of exciting for everybody.
Sure. Go down to Farman Park. It's shady and on a Wednesday afternoon.
Exactly. And we always have live music at every market, and it changes every market. So that's always fun, just for something different to do. And you can bring your lawn chair and some iced tea and sit back and relax and listen to the music.
So this Saturday is the 30th anniversary, 30 years on. That's kind of a feat right there.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we wanted to have a party, because it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And we're really proud of it. And it's still, you know, vibrant as ever. And
it's thriving, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
it's really one of the classic events of the summer and early fall here, no question. How long have you been involved with the farmers market?
Not long, actually. Yeah. I was hired early this year, but, you know, trying to launch into things, yeah. And have the other, the market manager, Kelly Burt, and I have some big dreams. So we're slowly trying to progress towards
so
those.
How many, you may not know this question, but how many of the folks that sell there have been there the whole 30 years?
Well, I don't know if anybody has been there exactly 30 years. I know that Diane Green, for example, of Green Tree Naturals has been there, I believe she said 28 years last week. Believe is what she told me. And there are several other vendors that have been there for many, many years. I am not sure if anybody has been there for exactly 30, but there's been some that have seen decades for sure.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of wonder what 30 years ago the farmers market looked like. Where was it? Has it always been in Farman Park?
I don't know that, actually. We do have.
I think it has been. Okay. Yeah, we've been around that long, Susie, haven't we?
I was in Bonner's Ferry. Yeah.
Okay.
And our website does have a nice little history piece in there, too, if anybody's curious. And our website is sandpointfarmersmarket.com. And just at the top, there's a little history page you can click on. And I read that a little while ago, but my memory is failing me at the moment. But it has some good information on there.
I think one of the things I've noticed in the last few years is the young farmers. And that's something to celebrate, because they're actually amazing farmers. They have a lot of food, and they pretty much sell out everything each market. And they're, I don't know, I think there's four or five large young farmers. And it's usually a couple, and they have, you know, so the farmers market has evolved from the old time farmers to the young farmers. It's kind of cool.
Well, and what is really lovely to see too is there's all different generations, and everybody's working together to be at market and make market happen. And you know, the young learning from the older and that kind of thing. It's really it's just a lovely community piece.
And it's not just vegetables that are at the market. On Saturday, it's all kinds of arts and crafts, and other kinds of food that's being made at the market, pizza. I think one year there was paella. And so it's really expanded quite a bit when they moved out into Oak Street.
Indeed, yes. And we have some really fantastic bread vendors this year as well, which is really exciting, something kind of different. And if you like to get up early and go to market for your vegetables, flowers, and bread, it really makes it a one-stop shop. And then Wednesdays as well, we've got some new vendors too. We have food vendors and a few craft vendors, as well as flour and produce.
So if you're a vendor or a farmer or a craftsperson and you want to have a booth at the market, what does it take, first of all? It probably costs something. And how do you get a spot?
Yes. So the deadline for applying this year has passed, but our website has all the information you need to kind of get started. Generally, you're going to want to go on there and apply, and then your application gets juried by the board. And the fee breakdown is all on the website as well. You can do a seasonal pass, or you can just pick and choose which Saturday or Wednesday you want to do and just pay a daily fee. So it is really flexible depending on how serious you want to be, if you just want to try it out or launch full swing into things.
I had to look up the history because my memory was telling me that it was started by Lois Wythe.
Yes.
In 1988. And Lois, she was like the godmother of gardening around here. She had the Peaceable Kingdom. Our husband, Joseph, is still alive. He's in his mid-90s now and wow. still sharp. He might see Joe Wythe writing letters to the editor. He's still very involved and active. She explored the idea of creating a community produce market in March of 1988, putting flyers around town asking, would you like to put your garden to work? Are you interested in having high-quality, locally grown vegetables available to buy? And Lois set up a meeting. She had enough interest. The first one came in I think that spring, a little bit later that spring, with 10 vendors at the first market. And it was at Farm and Park right from the start. So a little bit of history there.
Yeah. And now we have around 100 vendors. Yeah. So it really has grown. And again, like you said, with having young vendors younger vendors enter the mix, you can see there's sustainability there and there's long-term growth and a future.
Yeah. Well, it is one of the jewels of our summer. I think, you know, you can only grow so much in your garden, and it's really nice to go and get some things you don't grow. Or just see your friends. There's a lot going on there. And hear mm-hmm. some great music.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a social occasion. Yeah. It's a place where the community comes together.
And the kids mm-hmm. remember. I think I used to take my son, and I remember going to the market. You know, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's, again, with these Wednesday Kids events and with Kids Day in August, trying to just increase kid membership kid attendance even more. And the live music, too, is something that is really fabulous for kids getting out there as well, because every Saturday and Wednesdays, too, you just see kids really getting out the dance moves, and it's just very touching and cute.
Do you have kids?
Not yet.
Okay.
So you're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, and our guest we're talking with is Emma Stanford, and she's the outreach coordinator for the Sandpoint Farmers Market. There's a lot going on at the market. They're trying to make, you know, you're bringing extra special things. This Saturday, it's the 30th anniversary of the market from 9 to 1. Lots of special extra things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yeah.
Check it out on their Facebook, Farmers Market or Sandpoint Farmers Market or Farmers Market at Sandpoint. I think it's that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Farmers Market at Sandpoint. And then our website also, we try to keep pretty up to date. And that's sandpointfarmersmarket.com. Very easy to remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Well, anything else, Chris?
Well, I hope to see you there on Saturday. Yeah. Sounds like a good party. Yeah.
Should be a good time.
Yeah.
Thanks, Emma, for coming in and telling us all about it. We are almost out of time. We're going to go out with a song, but we still have a few things we want to tell you about. Thursday, that's tomorrow, July 12th, host Jim Healy and Jack Peterson of the Thursday edition of The Morning Show will visit with Suzanne Davis. She's the children's librarian at the East Bonner County Library. She'll be telling us about the summer reading program. And next week, well, to be decided, right? Mm-hmm. Who our guests will be?
Yeah, we have a couple of feelers out, so we'll have it. It will be an interesting and informative show. That's what we go for.
Nonetheless, that's what we do.
Yeah. I wanted to mention something interesting that's happening Friday. It's called Project Osprey Banding, and there's going to be a biologist that goes up in the big, tall bucket truck up to the nest at Memorial Field and will be banding the three chicks that are in the nest there. And because that's where the webcam is, people that want to tune in to sandpointospreys.com, right around 10 a.m. is when the schedule is. You can see what it looks like to see a biologist banding osprey chicks.
And he's going up into the nest, up into a box, and he'll be right by the nest.
He'll be way up the nest. There. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So we'll see how it works out. I mean, it should be very visible. You can see how he goes about. And he does not spend hardly any time there. You know, he's only going to try to be there like 5 minutes because they're
quick.
Trying to disturb the birds as little as possible. The apparent ospreys will be flying around, I'm sure. But the chicks, they're not old enough to fly yet, so they're kind of captive in the nest while he gets those bands on them. And then with the banding, what they can do is they can track these particular ospreys. They can, if they're sighted down in Mexico when they migrate or when they come back next year, we'll be able to identify them as from this nest. So that's pretty cool.
And so all three baby ospreys are doing well.
Yes, they are. And I'll mention the Lake Ponderay Cruises is having a benefit cruise. They're going to cruise out and off the shore there and kind of watch this from the boat. They're going to have the biologist Janie Fink Veltkamp is going to be on board, and she's with the Raptor Project in St. Mary's, and she's going to have a couple of raptors there. I think she might have an osprey right there on the boat. So that's pretty cool.
Lots going on.
Yeah.
You can always check on Sandpoint Online and see it all and hear it all.
Yeah. Or KFY.org. Or KFY.org. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in today, and we hope you have a beautiful day. We're going out with a song talking about gardens. This is The Garden Song by Dave Mallett, and we hope you have a great day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye now.